Public schools are increasingly chaotic and undermine Christian children's faith. We need to rebuild our Lutheran schools to provide a truly Christian alternative. Redeemer Classical School is rebuilding this Christ-focused education in Fort Wayne, Indiana, teaching students to wonder at God's creation and to love their neighbors. We need you to help us give children this faithful Christian education. Donations to Redeemer Classical School go directly to providing scholarships. Visit fortwayneclassical.com/give.
Well, the classroom has always been a little bit of a science lab. The kids always a little bit guinea pigs for the brightest idea in educating your children. They still have the goal, or they did until recently, still have the goal of educating your children in various subjects. And they would toy around with how that was done. All of us, to one degree or another, were probably a guinea pig in that lab. Someone's bright idea about a better way to educate children was tried out on us. Most of it fails. Some of it succeeds. But the goal was still to teach you the subjects. It was still there to teach you, well, like I tell my grandchildren, how to count and how to read and how to think. That's what school is for. Math, history, science, all of those things. But it appears that the goal may be being subverted of late. The goal not so much to teach you anything, but to indoctrinate you into a life of insubordination, creative insubordination. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're going to be talking about politicizing the subject of math. Joy Pullman joins us. She's managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Professor Who Worked on Common Core Tests, Math Education Needs to Downplay Objects, Truth, and Knowledge. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about University of Illinois Professor Rochelle Gutierrez.
Well, she is rather connected to a lot of really prominent organizations in education. So she is a professor in the School of Education there at the flagship university at the University of Illinois. And she has helped write the Common Core tests that are federally funded and used, signed on to by about half the states in the country to test kids on their math knowledge. And she has what I think would strike most listeners as a very novel and maybe even bizarre or extreme, it's definitely extreme, view of what math education should be for. She's going to be presenting in a couple of months here at an international math education conference basically some of her core ideas, and they include essentially that math education should stop focusing on facts, objectivity, and truth. I mean, that's an actual accurate paraphrase of her idea. And instead, essentially, she wants the math classroom to be a breeding ground for political activists to accomplish essentially a Marxist program of politics.
Okay, ethnomathematics is the term?
That is one that she uses in her writing, yes.
Okay, so break this down for us. How does this actually, how does it appear it would be implemented in the classroom if the teaching of mathematics needs to downplay objects, truth, and knowledge?
Well, it's kind of a piece with a lot of similar sort of identity politics ways of looking at learning and ideas. So one of her central contentions is that the field of mathematics is, and again, this sounds, you know, wild, but these are actually quotes from her, it's too white, it is too male, it is too patriarchal, it is too capitalist. So she believes that math, by being objective and focusing on provable, testable facts that don't change, actually oppresses people. And so she thinks that the math classroom should instead be used to teach students that they should try to, quote-unquote, liberate themselves from an objective system of thinking that produces reliable facts repeatably and testably, and instead basically engage them in political activism. And that's just straight up what she wants students and teachers and math graduate students to be reading Marxist literature and political tracts. She wants them to be using their class time thinking about and planning things like change. She approvingly quotes activists things such as storming out of classrooms, such as going into school board meetings and screaming at people, such as literally chaining themselves to their desks to create civic protests. Basically, no more math. And instead of math, I guess maybe math flavored, not even really math flavored, but basically just straight up. She calls it, she wants a revolution, she wants insurrection, she wants agitation in order to push for her preferred program of essentially wealth distribution and the end of private property.
Okay, so the kid sits down in the math classroom and they're told 1 + 1 = 2 is white. It is a system of oppression. It leads to conclusions that don't change over time. It leads to things like facts, and that is how oppression works. So children, instead of learning anything beyond that, you've already heard enough dangerous knowledge in 1 + 1 = 2, we're going to sit down with our crayons and make protest signs.
Right, right. Yeah, that is basically essentially what she's talking about. And now, I mean, to me, this sounds wacko, but I mean, this is a woman who has sat on the committees on more than a dozen public universities to determine and sat on the committees to determine whether, you know, professors who are assistant professors should be allowed to be granted tenure or move on to a tenure track. She's a woman who has received a number of federal National Science Foundation grants. We're talking National Science Foundation grants. So she works and gets money that is related to technically set science and math programs to basically not do anything related to science and math. I mean, like, you know, we've been discussing her work. She's not exactly thinking, how do we really help kids get good at multiplication? How do we, you know, overcome, you know, deficits in background knowledge to help kids be able, you know, to be really fluent at math? How do we get more kids into algebra at earlier ages? So that will be like actual math topics, right? So instead of that, she's getting money from math, math and science federal and taxpayer-funded programs to, again, you know, work on restructuring teacher training and public school and other classrooms in order to essentially, you know, push the United States into a more Marxist form of politics.
Yeah, but I mean, even if we adopted her political views of redistribution of wealth and Marxism, somebody's got to know how to count. I mean, how do you know how to redistribute it if you can't count it?
I think it really fits, Todd, you know, because wealth redistribution never mathematically works, right? As Margaret Thatcher famously said, you know, at some point, socialism always breaks down because at some point you run out of other people's money. So I actually think her anti-math, anti-fact view really fits with political Marxism, you know, because both of them are essentially anti-reality, objective reality. Marxism just focuses on the realities that are true about human nature, such as, you know, people work for their own self-interest more than they're going to work for some big abstract collective good, and that, you know, wealth redistribution is actually theft, so on and so forth. But, you know, and math is kind of like the hard numbers side of the Marxist equation. So I think that two actually fit together really well.
What does this tell us about the education of educators, that is, ed programs at a lot of colleges and universities?
I actually think, yeah, besides her wacky ideas, this is the most striking thing to me. You know, this is not a fringe person. This is a person who, like I said, you know, she's sat on, you know, boards at more than a dozen state, you know, universities. She's been given assistant speaking and professorship positions at Vanderbilt University. That's one of the nation's top research universities and has the reputation of having the top teacher training program. So, and she writes in an academic article of hers, one of her most recent that I read, you know, through, of how when her views were recently publicized by conservative websites, she faced a lot of backlash because, like we're saying, her views are really extreme. They don't mesh with most of the American public, and people think they're bizarre. So, but her response, you know, to people saying to her, this is bizarre, I don't think you should be using taxpayer money, you know, and your taxpayer-funded teaching position, you know, and position of public influence to be basically depriving children, you know, doing things that deprive children of a good math education. Her response to that was to say, we should go more and faster in the direction of my Marxist redistribution policies. And then she says in this journal article, she heard from, you know, people all across the country, from academia, from K-12 education, that they supported her. Rather than hearing people who do have the knowledge and ought to push back against her ideas that have been proven to be bad for kids and bad for society, instead what she got from, you know, American academia, from teachers and professors and people in positions of influence, they supported her, they stood up for her, and they started conversations about how they could increase the reach of her ideas. So that to me is, you know, even more frightening than her wacko ideas, and the fact that, you know, taxpayers in Illinois and even federal taxpayers, so you and me, because of the grants that she's gotten, we're paying for her to promote bad ideas. But not only that, there's lots and lots of people, who many more than her, in similar positions of influence that agree with her.
So if I'm a school administrator and there are teachers coming to me looking for jobs who have imbibed of this kind of redirection of the whole purpose of education, because if it counts for math, it's certainly going to count for history and biology and every other subject mm-hmm. one can conceive of. If we can mm-hmm. hijack the math classroom, you can hijack any classroom. This is going to be a nightmare for me. I don't want to hire teachers with this attitude that are going to foment political protests in the school instead of teach the kids what the parents expect the kids to be taught.
Well, Dr. Gutierrez has an answer for that. In the paper she explores, basically she says that, you know, parents and school administrators are the chief opponents of the kind of ideas and plans that she wants, you know, education to be full of. And so she says that people like her, you know, should start talking about how to basically get them to come around to her point of view, and not all through open inquiry and discussion, but essentially through indoctrination and through political pressure tactics. So she cites, for example, this case that just happened a couple of years ago in Arizona, where when, you know, state lawmakers, the state has a Republican legislature, they learned that tax dollars were going basically to foment this kind of thing in classrooms under the guise of Mexican, you know, Latino studies in public school classrooms and high schools. And they passed a law outlawing it. So these are the people's representatives, you know, using their justly given, you know, job to make a rule that, you know, they have complete authority to do, that, you know, state legislators are technically supposed to be in charge of public school classrooms. So they made this law, and what happened in Arizona is that then teachers started to band together to teach this class in their classrooms anyway, even though it was against the law. They started, you know, passing around and buying more of the books that they were teaching students and having more classes and reaching more students. And so basically, that is what this professor advocates. So basically, you know, she straight up says, you know, her goal is to subvert and use American institutions against the American people and against the levers that we have that are given to us by our natural rights, by our state and our federal constitutions, to be able to influence the laws and the policies that we have to live under and that we pay for as taxpayers. She basically wants to weaponize that against the American taxpayers. So, I mean, I really think this sort of view is just straight up for an open revolt. It's for open rebellion, which is, she says that she uses those words. And so I think the only response is that Americans really need to get a clue about the kind of ideologies that are in, you know, public school classrooms, that are in the sorts of people who are in charge of them. And we need to have our state lawmakers be doing a lot more direct measures and ways, thinking about restructuring our public education so it is impossible for people like this to not only gain power, but to force us essentially to fund their subversive activities that try to take away our rights and our power to govern ourselves.
So beyond people who sit on boards of education that never actually have to engage in teaching children, but somehow are given the job of teaching teachers to do it as well, beyond that, can we in any degree measure the traction that something like this has gained in the actual public school classroom? About a minute or so.
I mean, I really think what people need to understand is that so long as American education is basically a system of increasingly nationalized interlocking cartels and monopolies, that's what a local school district is, and even local voters don't have much power over local schools. State lawmakers need to hear clearly from their constituents that they want direct parent control over education, and the most efficient way to make that happen is to go towards school choice, to give families the funding for their kids and allow them to take it to any school that they please, because parents don't support this kind of ideological weaponizing of their kids and of the classrooms. And if they are able to vote with their feet and to use their child's tax provision, they will not go to a school that promotes these kinds of terrible ideas. And that's really, I think, the only way to effectively long-term get rid of this kind of nonsense.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist. She's author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Professor Who Worked on Common Core Tests, Math Education Needs to Downplay Objects, Truth, and Knowledge. You can read it and purchase The Education Invasion at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, we're going to reach into the mailbag, so to speak, and respond to listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line live this Thursday, August the 30th. Then we'll spend the better part of hour two of Issues Etc. in part five of our series on the prophets and the divine tribunal. We'll be with the prophet Hosea. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, author of the forthcoming book, Reading Isaiah with Luther, will be our guest. You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.